Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
Michigan football is 5-0 and ranked second in the country heading into its game at Minnesota. We bring you the latest news on the Wolverines and what to look for in Saturday night's matchup coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be with you here Thursday morning, October 5th, 2 days away from Michigan's game at Minnesota in prime time in Minneapolis. We've got some things to catch up our listeners on. We'll get to Minnesota in a little bit, but let's start with just things specifically from the Michigan side that we learned this week in the various, you know, press conferences and interviews. I don't know, where do you guys want to start? Jim Harbaugh talked to us on Monday, and he sure loves the unselfishness of this team. Ryan Zook, you wrote about it, so maybe you can kind of take the lead there, because he went on for at length about, you know, the unselfishness of this 2023 Michigan football team.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh, noted big physics guy, I guess. I mean, it kind of just went off on his one of his ramble sessions, and kind of just you never know what's going on in his head. But like, yeah, I mean, he compared this team as like basically right now they're riding high and ascending, but is the laws of gravity. Always Sir Isaac Newton's laws of gravity. I mean, there's always bound for a lull and a dip, but that they're trying to defy that and stay on top. And he believes that the unselfishness of this team, I mean, whether it's Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards not getting their 20 to 30 carries a game anymore, Cornelius Johnson not being a go-to target and taking on more of a blocking role, offensive line rotation, J.J. McCarthy only throwing like 16 passes a game. They're all on board for the betterment of the team, and he thinks that's it's a special recipe for success that is pretty rare in college football.
Part of me wonders, too, if they're as bored as we are watching these games. I know they're not going to like say it out loud or anything, but like they've been relatively easy. You know, yes, there have been struggles in the first half in some of these games, but by and large, Michigan's coasted the wins, and there hasn't really been – any, you know, game in the balance. So I don't know. It's, as we've said, this Big Ten schedule is nothing that they can control. I mean, you can only play who you're assigned and play the teams in your division. So, but I don't know. It's tough to measure how good this team is. It's tough to say, like, if they're getting better, the coaches say they are. And I think there's probably some truth there from what we've seen, but It's I don't know. You got to keep yourselves entertained somehow. I think they're trying to do that, you know, given the fact that they've still got, you know, 3 or 4 games until the schedule really starts heating up.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to like one of our preseason predictions. I don't think it was in the story we published, but I think we hit on it on the pod, whether any Wolverine would at least get invited, you know, to New York for the Heisman ceremony. I can't recall exactly where we landed on it. I might have said maybe I thought JJ could get there because, you know, the quarterback of a undefeated team, you know, usually is in the mix. And I don't know, through 5 games, it's probably looking like maybe no. I mean, he's up there as far as passer rating. He's 5th in the country in that stat, but, you know, in just yards per game, he's nowhere near the top, and, you know, touchdowns, things like that. He's been incredibly efficient and effective. But he doesn't have those counting stats like some of these other quarterbacks. And that's kind of true down the line for this Michigan team.
I believe the question was who is most likely to end up at, you know, at the Heisman Trophy ceremony. And I think I said JJ, but I also prefaced with by saying I didn't think any of them, he was most likely, but I didn't think any of them were going to get there because as we, you know, we thought the carries would be kind of divvied up. I didn't see Blake Corum duplicating what he was able to do last year. And Michigan just doesn't throw the ball enough for JJ to like make a legitimate case. So, and it's kind of playing out how we expected. I think many of us probably thought maybe Donovan would be producing a little bit more than he has. But for at least from my perspective, it's played out just about how we expected it. They're just Michigan's offense doesn't, and this goes back to the unselfishness thing, right? Like Michigan's offense isn't set up for someone to quote unquote, like shine above everyone else. They don't throw enough. They're not passing enough or they're not running enough. It's a very balanced scheme that gets multiple people involved and doesn't really like promote one guy over everyone else.
Right now, JJ McCarthy, 30-1 odds to win the Heisman Trophy behind 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other players. So, I mean, I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility, but still looking kind of like the long shot at this point. And I think Michigan would need to be in some closer games and him to really have like a 5-6 touchdown performance like a Caleb Williams in more of a shootout type of game than how they've been winning games to start this year.
And I'd make the case too. He's only high up there right now because Michigan is unbeaten and they're projected to win the Big Ten and be in the playoff talk again. Like he's going to get recognized. People are going to talk about him. But you're right, Ryan. Like he's going to have to put together a couple of massive games, whether that's against Penn State, against Ohio State, where he's putting up big numbers and have that like quote unquote Heisman moment to put him on that stage.
Yeah, Blake Corum 50-1, which seems, I mean, I thought it would be a little bit loftier odds than that, just considering his yard total hasn't really been there. But again, still early. And I think Aaron mentioned this yesterday. He said on the radio recently, he feels like he hasn't even played in the fourth quarter yet because they've been ahead by so many points.
Yeah. And this is going to all come down to, you know, again, we've talked about Michigan's backloaded schedule, so that's where it's going to be for, you know, these individual players to try to shine on against better teams on bigger stages as well. I guess, yeah, going along the theme of the unselfishness and kind of, you know, divvying up, you know, the success and the production, let's talk about the offensive line because, you know, Jim Harbaugh talked about on Monday the possibility of, you know, rotating in with that group. They do it on the defensive line. You know, can it work on the offensive line as well? Do you think they'll actually do this?
That's probably the right question here, right? Are they actually going to do this? Because Jim Harbaugh has been known to throw stuff out there in the past, like Alex Orji and kick return that we never see the light of day. So we'll see where things go with the offensive line. I mean, so much, I think the offensive line is predicated more on cohesion than maybe any other unit on the team. So I think it'd be a tall task, a big ask to ask Sherrone Moore to like rotate more of these guys in and get them in earlier in games and everything else. Now look, maybe they try it. You know, maybe they give it a go. I don't know how it's going to work out. Nonetheless, Jim Harbaugh seems he wants to see more Trenthe Jones in the game. He hasn't, you know, he did play a little bit on Saturday, played more than he had coming in. They seem to like what they got out of Ladarius Henderson at left tackle, but we also have to keep in mind that he isn't like a natural tackle and he hadn't played a ton up until Saturday. So I think the shift the last couple of weeks with, you know, moving Carson Barnhart to right tackle, inserting Ladarius is more the result of Miles Hinton not being 100% healthy than it is anything else. And that seems to be like the response all the coaches keep giving, like Miles Hinton's been banged up. So there's a reason the movement's happened. They thought they liked what they were getting on the offensive line a couple of weeks ago. And I think it was an opportunity for them to build on that. Unfortunately, Miles has been banged up. So I don't know if it's going to happen. I think in Jim Harbaugh's ideal world, they rotate as many guys in as possible and without the drop-off. But I have a hard time imagining that not happening or that happening with them, you know, trying to put, you know, 7-8 guys up front.
Yeah, it's not going to be like hockey shift changes where it's like, all right, guys come in for a couple plays and then on the same drive. Like, I think it's going to be a drive-by-drive basis. And, I mean –
judging by Michigan's upcoming schedule, they'll probably be up big in the fourth quarter again. So I'm sure those Trenté Joneses and a lot of the other second team guys are going to get some playing time, but it's going to be with each other in a blowout game instead of meaningful reps early in the game. That would be my guess.
It's definitely real, this depth and the, you know, sort of who are the stars of this team, you know, that Harbaugh was talking about, because other coaches are talking about it a lot too. I mean, PJ Fleck of Minnesota's head coach, that was kind of the number one thing he said in his press conference leading up to this game, was like, you know, that he was asked, like, is this the best team you faced, you know, in your time, you know, in the Big Ten so far? And he couldn't say that for sure, but he's like, they just might be the deepest because they're just rotating in guys at various spots, and, you know, they're staying fresh because of it. And you can't tell who these guys are making the plays. You're watching on tape, and it's one time it's this guy, then the next one it's this guy. Like, who is the star of the team? They're all stars in a way. And yeah, you're certainly seeing it on the defensive line already, Michigan doing that rotation and it being very effective. Yes.
Yeah. And I think it's becoming more rare, right, in the transfer portal era, where guys are always searching for the next starting spot or next opportunity, right? Michigan's been able to largely hold on to many other guys without issue, without guys leaving. Yes, they've had their sure guys into the portal too, but like, they're rolling with legitimately probably six or seven stars in the offensive line. None of them have decided to leave. They brought in three transfers who are basically have been willing to kind of wait their turn and win the job. So I think it's a best case scenario for Jim Harbaugh, who is obviously embodies the Bo Schembechler, the team line. This is, I think, what Jim Harbaugh ideally wanted. I mean, remember, going back just a couple of years ago, we've been told by players, you know, going back to 2020, even the underachieving year in 2019, where this Michigan team had so many players who were me-focused, centered on themselves, wanting to be stars, wanting to get the NFL. And while that may be the case still with a couple of guys, it hasn't permeated the team, right? It goes back to that chicken or the egg talk of where, you know, is the culture the reason they're winning, or is the winning the result of the culture? Either way, it's what Jim Harbaugh wants out of the program. I think this is his ideal situation. It's obviously paid dividends. And like you said, PJ Fleck and others have paid attention.
We got to speak to plenty of other players this week, you know, Donovan Edwards, Roman Wilson. You know, I'm not saying we only need to focus on the skill players, but, you know, they are the bigger names, the ones, you know, get with the ball in their hands. Yeah, anything from them or any of the other, you know, interviews this week that you guys wanted to mention?
I mean, Donovan Edwards continues to be the most entertaining interview on the team. I mean, you never know what you're gonna get when he stands in front of the media. And I mean, he basically talked about his critics on Tuesday night and says he hears them, but he doesn't really care about them, and he's just trying to try and run harder and continue to kind of pull out of the slump by running harder and hope a few of these runs start or long runs are starting to break off. But like, it's, I mean, the numbers are not pretty for him, but like, he seems to be in good spirits, and he makes the interviews entertaining too. It's like, man, I can't believe Khalil Mulling scored before me. I'm happy for him, but dang, I can't believe I haven't found the end zone yet, type of stuff. So yeah, I mean, he's the one that stood out to me the most, and you're just waiting for that one big game to kind of say, all right, he's back, and this is what everyone envisioned for him this season.
Donovan has a real high opinion of himself. You know, some of it's valid. You know, he likes to compare himself to Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and everything else. And he said in the previous interviews that he wants to be the next Barry Sanders. So obviously he's not there yet. Part of me wonders if Blake returning has kind of dampened what he was hoping to do this year. Because remember, he had a slow start last year, right? He didn't have a lot of big games early on. He didn't have a lot of big home run hits. Most of them came the final three, four games of the year when Blake was limited or just flat out not playing. And he was kind of the center of the run game. That just hasn't been the case so far, obviously, with Blake back and him improving week to week. And, you know, some of it's been schematic. Teams have you know, filled the box and prevented, you know, stop Donovan from breaking some long runs. But and some of it may be offensive line related too. But yeah, he hasn't been able to hit those big hits yet. I do think they will come at some point, probably here in the back half of the year, maybe even in the bigger moments. But it's right. Ryan's right. We haven't gotten the Dobbin Edwards. I think some of us thought the numbers just aren't there yet. I do wonder if they're going to start trying getting him more involved in the slot. They've obviously done it at times this year.
They should.
Yeah, I mean, he's good with the ball when he has the ball, especially in kind of open field situations. But when you try to bottle him up or at the line of scrimmage, I haven't seen the burst out of him that maybe some of us thought we would get to break those big runs. Him and Blake are very different runners, and that Blake is always trying to get the extra yard, always trying to get as much as he can. Whereas I think Donovan, and he acknowledges the other day too, he's like, you know, his vision and his about expectation for wanting to get the big runs as opposed to taking the 3 and 4 yards he can get. So I don't know. It's a work in progress with him. I'm sure he'll find it at some point. But yeah, it's to this point through 5 games, it's really been a disappointing start.
Yeah, for as small as Blake is, and I know he's known for some of his open field jukes and whatnot, but he's still a pretty good downhill runner too. Like if you need a yard or two, he's going to bulldoze his way, put his head down, and push through and get those short yards too. And we just haven't seen that from Donovan. But like you said, I mean, he has been able to pick up yards catching the ball. I mean, 12 catches for over 100 yards this year, averaging 8.6 yards per catch. So it's like, all right, he has been relatively effective there. Do you move him out more to the slot and give Kalel Mullings and Blake Corum more of the load in the backfield? I don't know. I mean, Michigan doesn't really have a slot receiver that's really excelled this year, so maybe we'll see them tinker with that a little bit more. But, I mean, to me, whenever I've seen him in the slot, it's like, all right, this kind of looks like it could be something. They might have found something here, but – we asked him about it, and he just said whatever the coaches need from him. So it's not like we got a clear answer from him how much that's going to be happening moving forward.
Yeah, I think, like you guys said, so much of this has to do with how last year finished. I mean, the last game of the regular season against Ohio State in the fourth quarter, he rips off a 75-yard run, an 85-yard run. Big Ten championship. He opens the second half with a 60-yard run, and then he opens, you know, the playoff game against TCU with a 54-yard run. But like, those aren't normal. It's not normal to have, like, you know, multiple 70, 60, whatever plus yard runs in games. So you don't know if that just became the norm for him. It's nice to shoot for that, but maybe not on a down by down basis. It can actually be a little, you know, counterproductive to actually, you know, try to do that. So
I'm glad you brought that up, because I asked him Tuesday night when we spoke to him flat out. I asked if those big runs late last year created kind of, you know, high expectations, maybe unfair expectations for him this year. And he kind of laughed and he acknowledged yes. But at the same token, you know, Donovan, as I said, he's a very confident individual. He wants to be the best. And, you know, he still thinks that's what he wants to shoot for. Like those are what he wants. I think that's what he became known for. And I think he likes that. And the fact that he hasn't been able to hit, you know, anything beyond, I think, 14 or 15 yards this year, has disappointed him. I think it has him scuffling a little bit, but I think the coaches have pushed and emphasized him just to get as many yards as he can, and eventually he'll break one. Time will come.
Zero runs this year of 15 yards or more, which is pretty shocking, and only a couple of at least 10 yards, which, yeah, it definitely did not expect heading into the year.
All right, you guys ready to talk Minnesota here?
Let's talk some Golden Gophers.
Well, let's do it. So, yeah, the game is at 7:30 Eastern time, 6:30 local in Minneapolis. That's what I've seen on the official game notes. I haven't seen any later kickoff time than that. It's on NBC. I think it's, you know, also on Peacock, but it's on NBC proper as well, which I know fans will be happy about. And yeah, you know, Minnesota is. You know, Mike Hart, Michigan running backs coach, said yesterday they should be 4-1, and he's right, I guess, because they are 3-2, and they blew a 21-point fourth quarter lead against Northwestern before losing in overtime. But they could have lost their opener to Nebraska too. They were down at half to Louisiana this past week, so I don't know. 3-2, maybe that's about right. So yeah, this I don't know. I'm not certain this Minnesota team is going to pose a huge challenge when you get into some personnel, but just sort of big picture right away. Yeah. Is this, you know, I'm thinking about Ryan's comments kind of to start this pod about the laws of gravity. Is this one of the games that maybe Michigan has a bit of a, you know, letdown after, you know, the road opener, such a big win last week?
I don't know. When you look at the numbers for Minnesota, they don't do anything particularly well. I mean, they're seriously, right? They're bottom half of the Big Ten in almost every like team statistical category out there. They can score points. They can play defense. They played a decent schedule to this point. I mean, they played North Carolina. They opened against Nebraska. They did beat Nebraska. So, theory, maybe it should be a little closer than Michigan's game against Nebraska on Saturday. But I don't know. I don't know if this team, this Gophers team, is equipped to hang with Michigan. Their run defense isn't particularly good. So I expect Michigan to once again try and move the football on the ground. You know, we heard this week from Blake Corum and some of the offensive linemen and how they prefer operating in cold weather. Well, Saturday night is going to be a little bit colder than it was last Saturday in Nebraska. So I got to think they're going to want to run the football. I think Blake Corum is probably an ideal situation for him. I could see this being another blowout. It wouldn't shock me at all. Because I don't think this Gophers team's very good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right with Aaron. When I saw the spread for this, I'm like, really? That's it? I thought Michigan kind of would be favored by more after what they did to Nebraska. Their quarterback doesn't really impress me very much. I mean, they have a freshman running back in Darius Taylor who only had one carry in the opener and then rushed for more than 20 times in the next three games and had a couple huge games, but then didn't play last week because of injury. And I'm trying to find a status on him and haven't been able to find one too. So if they're down their top running back and they're going to need to run the ball and kind of drain that clock if they're going to have any shot at keeping it close against Michigan. And I just don't see them doing that against this Michigan defense. I expect another similar formula to victory for the Wolverines again on Saturday.
Yeah, that's Darius Taylor, running back from Detroit, Walled Lake Western High School. 24/7 Sports had him as a four-star recruit, 23rd best running back in the country, 8th best prospect in Michigan. Of course, Michigan got, you know, a couple running backs in this class as well. They got Cole Cabana out of the state and then also, you know, Benjamin Hall from Georgia. But yeah, Taylor is the leading rusher in the country as far as yards per game. But as Ryan mentioned, he did get hurt in the Northwestern game 2 weeks ago, didn't play this past Saturday against Louisiana. And yeah, I mean, we're going to find out, on Saturday when that pregame injury report comes out, exactly what his status is. I mean, they plugged in, they've got a bit of a committee going anyway, and they plugged in a different freshman kind of in his place, and he won Big Ten Freshman of the Week, this past week. So, you know, they've got some other guys there. But yeah, the quarterback Ryan mentioned, Ethan Kaliakmanis, which, you know, it actually is pronounced kind of the way it looks, although it's a mouthful. He's completing 59% of his passes, 5 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He was a 4-star recruit in the same class as JJ McCarthy and also, you know, from Illinois. I kind of understand what Aaron's saying. They're not really terrible in anything, but they're not, you know, great either. And might as well mention their other two games since we've mentioned 3 of them already. There was the narrow win at Nebraska versus Nebraska at home to start the year, beat Eastern Michigan, you know, relatively easily at home the next week. And then got crushed at North Carolina the following week before the stunning, you know, collapse against Northwestern and then the win against Louisiana this past week. So I don't know. Yeah, Brown jug on the line in Minneapolis, but not sure. It doesn't sound like any of us feel that Minnesota's going to pose too big of a threat in this game.
No, I just think Michigan's got the better team. I mean, the more talent, I think they're better on both sides of the ball. Like you said, if Darius Taylor's in play, I think it's certainly going to be game over for Minnesota. He did put up some big numbers, but it came against some, you know, not very good teams. So I even if he does play, and I don't know his status at this point, but I'd be surprised if he even cracked over 100 yards, given Michigan's run wall and the defensive line. Sounds like Mason Graham is coming back this week, so that certainly should help. Not only just from a personnel standpoint, but giving them an extra body over the middle too. So I don't know. It is a road game, so you never know how Michigan's going to respond there. They played well at Nebraska, so, you know, so far so good, but you never know. It is going to be a different environment. But I don't know. Last time they went to Minnesota was 2020. We didn't know what to expect that game just because that was Joe Milton's debut. It was first game of the COVID year. They played well. Now, that was the only game that season they played well. So I don't know. I'm expecting Michigan to win this game heavily, and I don't think it's going to be relatively close.
Aaron brought up Mason Grant potentially returning from injury, and it made me think of another tidbit from this past week, too, is Jim Harbaugh mentioned in a couple, and Steve Klingsdale as well, is that, I mean, we kind of knew this, but Rob Moore's been playing banged up this year, too. I mean, he missed his first three games of the year, came back and played and earned the start against Rutgers, but didn't play a whole lot, and didn't start last week against Nebraska. And I mean, not going to name who, but one of us didn't even realize he played out there. So that's kind of just shows he hasn't had his full impact yet that we've come to expect from him. I mean, this is a guy that was an honorable mention last year, is all Big Ten as a sophomore, was expected to be a key part of this secondary, and he just hasn't really been healthy. And Harbaugh basically said, it's like, yeah, he's battling through something right now, and just trying to manage his workload and trying to get him healthy while also trying to get him reps this year too.
Aaron and I can, you know, probably will wave to each other in the skies. I guess he'll be coming back from Minnesota, and I'll be going out there actually for Big Ten basketball media day, men and women in Minneapolis. So I don't know, not a ton to preview there. I can talk about it on a podcast once I get back, but you know, a sign that basketball is getting closer.
Hockey's here this week.
There you go. So, NHL regular season games are happening. Yes. All right.
No, not NHL, but U of or okay. Michigan starts, opens against Providence Saturday night about the same time as the football game, and then Sunday afternoon as well. So I plan on covering that Sunday game too against Providence, ranked number 18 to start the year. So it should be decent little test for the Wolverines to start things off in 2023.
We had a little piece of news as well. The NCAA, did they officially change this rule, or it's like being brought to the committee and we'll see if it's finalized. Most of these things I feel like are, but as far as when coaches are hit with a suspension, you know, it's not just for the game. It's for the practices too. You know, leading up to those games. There's a 3-game suspension. You're out for 3 weeks, not just 3 days.
Yeah, it's been approved by the Division I Council, but so essentially it's been rubber stamped, but they need to adopt it formally. Again, NCAA's got this archaic process where it goes through one committee and then another committee, then it's approved. And either way, it sounds like the NCAA is moving toward, yes, a new rule where any coach found in violation of rules, infractions, in this case, Jim Harbaugh would be a potential candidate. Yes, they would miss more than just the game, like Jim did the previous his previous suspension. Now, it's important to distinguish that was a school-imposed suspension, so Michigan had the discretion there to do what they wanted. They chose just to suspend him for the Saturday game days and not during the week. The NCAA can now, you know, if in fact this is approved, or if this is in fact put through, and it sounds like it's going to be, Jim would in fact have to miss more, like you said, more than just game day. It would include practices and meetings and everything else. So in addition to some other things too, they want to put out a public database with a list of coaches who've gotten in trouble in the past, who suffered from violations and have show cause orders and everything else. So I don't know if this is intended to, to aggravate or, anger Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if there's a direct response to that, but it certainly, several of these new rules, and we have a story up at MLive.com/Wolverines on it, certainly, focus toward some of the things, being levied against Jim.
Yeah, ironic timing, that's for sure. I wonder if Michigan's seen this now and was wondering, like, damn, maybe we should have suspended him for, like, 4 games this year and for less punishment next year. But I guess, yeah, that's later on down the line. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, this was clearly, Michigan chose that he would just do the games. I mean, that's not really a thing. Typically, you're suspended. You're out for that whole time. I mean, when Juwan Howard was suspended, a couple seasons ago, it was for that entire period. He wasn't just around the team every other minute of the day except the game day. So, you wonder if how Michigan kind of, Harbaugh called it a club to the knees or the shoulder or whatever. So he was clearly hurt by having to miss the games, but he and rest of his staff and players also, were heavy on the fact that it wasn't a big deal either because he was there at practice. So it really wasn't that much different either. So I don't know. I certainly understand why they'd want to kind of formalize this thing, but I kind of thought from the NCAA's perspective, when they handed out a suspension, that was already the case. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see too how that Michigan suspension is weighed in the NCAA's eyes. You know, do they the fact that he's only suspended for 3 games and not the entire week, will that factor in and into any additional suspension? I don't know. I have to think maybe, perhaps, but you know, it's going to be interesting if and when Jim is handed another suspension from NCAA.
All right. Well, you know, I feel like I never plugged my own story on Noah Stewart, the walk-on from Michigan who's got diabetes. You know, you can find it now. Just Google his name, my name, if you want. If you start reading it and here, if you're listening to this on, you know, Thursday or Friday, if you start Friday morning, you start reading it now, you might be able to finish it by kickoff of Michigan Saturday night game against Minnesota. But we'll have more about Minnesota, more leading up to this game, the latest, you know, injury reports on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.